If you will, to the book of Exodus, chapter number one, or chapter number two, Exodus chapter number two. You've been seated a while. Let's all stand together and we'll reverence God's word as we read it. I'll let you stretch before I have you sit down for the next 2 or 3 hours. And Exodus chapter number two. You'll go to Genesis and hang a right. You'll get there soon. If you're there, say amen. Verse number 1, Exodus chapter number 2, let's read. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took a wife, a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And when the maid went and called the child's mother, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. As you all know, as we have just read this very familiar text, all of you know the story of the birth of Moses and how his mother was in captivity under the Egyptian bondage, and there was a hit out on all the children, and especially of the male species, and she was doing the best that she could with a terrible situation. And ain't that the truth? And how many women's lives that falls in? Not every birth is done in a perfect setting. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about how that comes to be. But you don't see Moses. I just say this. It's not the message, but it's worth saying. You don't see Moses' mother, Jochebed. You don't see her running to find an abortion clinic, because it was a bad set of circumstances. You don't see her trying to find a way out. No, she's trying to do her best to see to it that this child lives and is able to serve the living Lord. And so, if you are here this morning and you have a mother, you are blessed. If you have a living mother, you're beyond blessed. And if you have a living, godly mother, that's about as blessed as you can be. And so if you have a living mother, I encourage you today. I don't care what terms you're on or how good the relationship is. If it's not good, I encourage you to go fix it. You don't get but one. You get one mama. And I won't go into detail, but this past year I had a conversation with a lady. Actually, with several ladies about their mother and how the situation had unraveled, and they didn't have a speaking relationship with their mama, and that's heartbreaking. I mean, that's heartbreaking. And this mother was nearing death, and I encouraged them. I said, "You need to bite the bullet, junk your pride, and go fix that." Because the day will come when she won't be here anymore. And you'll wish to God 1,000 times over you would have done whatever it took to be able to talk to your mama again. And so if you have one, do whatever it takes. Go see her. That's why I don't just cancel Sunday evening service so I can get a night off. I have more to preach than you got time to listen to. So I'm not looking for nights off or for mornings off for that matter. I'm giving you the opportunity to go spend time with your mama. I believe that's important. And I believe God puts a high stake on honoring our mother and our father. And so that's the purpose of, that we do that. But I want to preach for a few minutes this morning on the subject, Jochebed, a portrait of a godly mother. And she was. And the Bible don't say a whole lot about her, but what it does say is powerful. And I want to look at a few truths out of this lady's life and out of this situation. But today, as I mentioned, and as you know, we take the time to honor the one human being who unselfishly gives herself to her children time and time again. And this is the key, without asking anything in return. That's the heart of a real mother. And if life has been, if your life has been blessed by the touch of a godly mother, then you have enjoyed one of the world's greatest treasures. I mean that. We set aside one day a year to honor mothers, and most of them deserve it. Really. Not every mother is perfect. Matter of fact, there's not any mothers that are perfect. There was only one perfect son and a man, and his name was Jesus. So that means, by definition, there's never been a perfect mother. Yeah. Mary wasn't perfect. Right. Regardless of what the Catholic Church will tell you, Mary was a sinner, and she had failed and come short of the glory of God. So don't we shouldn't put expectations on mothers that are out of reach. No, she's a human being. She's going to make mistakes, but look at the overall picture. I promise you this, my mama hadn't been perfect, but I would fight you over and kill over my mama. I would. I love her that much because she has been there for me when nobody else would be. Same's true for my wife. Abraham Lincoln declared, "No man is poor who has had a godly mother." Well, that's true. A Spanish proverb reads this, "An ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest or preacher." That's true. Someone else said, "The instruction received at mother's knee, together with the pious and sweet souvenirs of the fireside, are never effaced entirely from the soul." It's true. Coming back to the text in the few minutes we have left, this woman by the name of Jochebed is introduced to us, and we begin reading about her birth and all that was going on. And again, God didn't give us a very detailed exposition of all that went on in her life, but He told us enough to know that she went to great lengths to see to it that her son made it. And that's what every mother's heart is, to see their child live, and not only live, but to be successful and to succeed in life. And her selfless love and sacrifice made possible the Exodus. Listen, because of what this woman did, Jochebed, this portrait of a godly mother, because of what she did and the sacrifices she made, and what a sacrifice she made to give her child up so that he could live. Because of that, that's how we know of, and that's how history was changed by the great Exodus from Egypt. Had Moses' mother never done that, we would have never heard the story of Moses. He would have died in the river, or he'd have died at the hands of wicked men. And so it would do us well this morning to look at the life of this great mother. In this passage about this woman, Jochebed, there are lessons that speak to every person here, not just mothers. So if you're not a mom, don't go snoozing. The truths apply to all of us. Young, old, male, female, lost or saved, these principles apply. And so as we consider this mother, number one, we see her credentials. Verse 1 said, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took a wife a daughter of Levi. Jochebed was an Israelite, one of God's chosen people. She was also a member of the tribe of Levi, from which would come the priest of those who would carry out the duties of the tabernacle, and later on the temple. And she and her husband Amram were evidentially very dedicated and holy people. So how do you know that? Well, they were willing to defy the order of Pharaoh. Why? So that they could keep the commandments of God. They went against the king and the Pharaoh and the highest ruler in the land for the mere purpose of upholding the principles of God. And so that's to be admired. Every mother needs a relationship with the Lord. Every mother. Every child needs a saved mother. Not only saved, but every child needs a sold out, dedicated, spiritual mother. As a mom, there's only so much you can give in and of yourself. As a mother, you can do your very best, but outside of the grace of God and the guidance of God, there's only so much you will be able to pass on to your child. But if you're saved and if you're sold out and spiritual and spiritually minded, it opens up a whole new world that you can give your child that you never would have been able to otherwise. And because Jochebed was a godly mother and the portrait of one, she was able to pass on to Moses just in the time she had with him something of a spiritual sense. Nothing would make more difference in the lives of our children than having a good godly mother in the home. There is a lack of godly mothers in the home. Are you talking about a pandemic? We got a pandemic of godly mothers. We need them. We need them. I believe that's what is so wrong in society, is that mothers have left the home. They're nowhere to be found. Every child, if you was raised by a mother that loved you and was there for you, and especially who raised you for the Lord, there's no replacing that. There is nothing more important than that. And to remove that, it messes up a child's life. It messes up a child's psyche. And everything, that foundation that should be set by a mother, if that's missing, it absolutely disrupts it all. And so there's a need for godly mothers. There's a need for godly fathers. It's not Father's Day. We'll get to that, and I'll deal with that. And I believe God, fathers missing in the home is one of the greatest problems in our country. But so is mothers. Fathers have forsaken their wives and their women and their children and have went off and left them and abandoned them, whereas mothers have left the home for a more noble cause, to pursue a career or what. Fill in the blank. But when mama's missing, there's problems for whatever reason. Your number one duty as a mother should be to be there for your children. They need you. They need you. While we are on the subject, allow me to insert the truth. We need godly mothers. We need godly fathers. We need godly children. And you can't be godly. You can't be a godly mother or a godly father or a godly child if you're not, first of all, saved. It's hard to be godly when you don't have God in you. Amen. That's the first step of being spiritual, is being saved. And so while we're on the subject, allow me to insert the truth that every person needs the Lord Jesus Christ. You need Him. It's a must if you're going to make it to heaven. More than you need your next breath, you need to be saved. It's the one credential you need to miss hell and to make heaven when you die. Listen to Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And then you all know these verses, John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. A mother worth her salt will relay that message I just read to you to her child. Amen. A saved, sold out spiritual mother wants her child to spend not just this lifetime with her, but forever. How would you say a mother is loving when she wouldn't share the gospel with her child? If you're a mom here and you've never shared the gospel with your child, you are failing. That ain't the preacher's job. It's part of mine to declare the gospel and preach the gospel, but listen, they should first get it in your home from your lips and from your life. It's your responsibility. Yeah. And I promise you, when the world's on fire, the one thing you will regret is if you hadn't shared the gospel and saw to it that you've done everything in your power to make sure your child lived forever with you. Yeah. So we see her credentials. She was a Jew. She was of the tribe of Levi. Then number two, her courage. And my, didn't she have courage? Look at verse 2. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. The decree of Pharaoh needs to be mentioned. And that's found in Exodus chapter 1, verse 15. The decree of Pharaoh said, the Bible said this, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrews, Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Pua. Can you imagine if your mama named you Pua? Pua? That'd get you some nicknames in school. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not, as the king of Egypt commanded them, but save the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing? And they have and have saved the men children alive. And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. So that was the decree of Pharaoh. Kill them. Murder them. Butcher them babies. And if it don't get done there, throw them in the river and let the crocodiles eat them. It's a pretty strong decree. That's pretty vicious, wouldn't you say? Feed the babies to the crocodiles? That's pretty bloody and gory, wouldn't you say? No more so than what's going on in little buildings around America. Done in the shield of darkness, done in the shield of unanimity, and where people don't know, and you can sign away and sign a waiver and a form and do away with a child and a life. Not just boys, not just men child, but all children. God forbid. Yes, Pharaoh was wicked. Yes, that was of the devil, but it's no more so than it is today. Sin and murder. You say, why would you deal with such a subject on Mother's Day? Because it must be dealt with. Amen. Murder is wrong. It's a sin against God. Amen. Let them children live. It's got to go against the conscience of any mother to take the life, or either condone the taking of the life of their child. Amen. And yes, it does take courage, and it took her courage To go around and to go against what the highest leader in the land, the one who could, at his own word, take her life. But she did it. And Jochebed refused to give in to the godless system that would have cost her the life of her son. Boy, don't we need some courageous mothers like that. God give us parents who are not afraid to take a stand for what is right in these dark, wicked days we're living. Men and women who demand more for their children than the world can provide for them. Parents who are willing to say, enough is enough. My child is going to learn the way of God. Yes, in 2023, it's going to take some courageous women, some courageous mothers to stand up and buck the system and say, I'm not sacrificing my children to the world's way and to the world's system, and I'm not just throwing my child to get into the way of the world. No, I'm going to stand and I'm going to put hands on and raise my child by the grace of God, according to the word and will of God. That does take courage. And thank God, listen, a nation was delivered. God's people were delivered because of this woman's courage. No telling. And I'll say more about this at the end of the message, but there, you have no idea who you're raising. She had no idea she was raising and saving the life of the future deliverer of the land. Amen. I wonder how many Moseses have been aborted. I wonder how many leaders and great godly men and women, their lives have been stolen from them to give somebody an easier life. No, that's not courageous. No. People who will declare the same thing Joshua declared for his family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. Spells it out in detail. Go read it. We need some courageous mothers in this day. It is interesting to note that in our day, often the young people have more of a heart for God and His business than do the parents. It ain't the proper order for the child to be leading the way and to be leading the spiritual temperature of your home. That should be set by a loving mother and a loving father. You ought not ever ask your child, hey, you want to go to church? Not because I'm the preacher, but ask any of my children, have I ever asked them, hey, you want to go to church tonight? That ain't their choice. You know why? Not just me. I'm a preacher, yeah. But ask them if their mamas ever said, hey, you want to go to church tonight? Negative. Never happened. Never going to happen. As long as they live in our house, they're going to abide by our rules. And that means when the church doors are open, they better get their tails ready and get in the car on time and let's go to church. Amen. And going to church is the bottom rung on the spiritual ladder. I mean, that's just the first, most elementary, primary thing anybody can do. We encourage them and see to it. They read their Bibles. They have a prayer life. That they are growing and maturing spiritually. And their mother, to her credit, does way more of that than I do. Why? Because she's going to make sure her children get what it takes. And trust me, it ain't always been easy. And she'll say, y'all not going there. Y'all not doing that. And takes a stand. Y'all not wearing that. Y'all not listening to that. And I promise you, that ain't always a fun debate. And it would be way easier for her just to go along to get along and be the cool mom. But she's way more interested in being a spiritual mama, a courageous mama, and a Christian mama. And I thank God for that. Same is true with my mom. I can't tell you the times she told me, no, you're not going. Why? You let me go last week because I said so. And sometimes you just need to hear no and know that no's enough. Yeah. Yeah. Looking back, you ain't going to that skating palace. How many of y'all remember the skate palace? Yeah. She had enough sense. It would have been good for me to never have went. Yeah. And that's just... It ain't always easy, you mamas know, to stand up against the grain. But it's courageous and it's worth it. And God will bless you for it and He'll bless your children for it. Amen. Let me hurry. Once a little boy asked his father what a Christian was. And for a long time, the father sat down with the son, explaining in great detail exactly what a Christian was supposed to be. When he finished, the little boy looked up at him and said, have I ever met one? That was pretty convicting to the daddy. Yeah. He was supposed to be a Christian, and after describing what a Christian was, the little boy said, "Have I ever met one of them?" Hopefully, in our home, with our children will be the first to know that we are true believers, true Christians. And they, I promise you this, they will get that not from what we say, but from how we live. Amen. We see her, I'm hurrying, her credentials and her courage. Then we see her confidence. Verses 3 said, "And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank." Then verse 9 said, "And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" By confidence, by Jochebed's confidence, I'm referring to her faith. Jochebed was a woman motivated by strong faith in the will of a sovereign God. How else would you take your child, your newborn child who was just barely born,